Scientists Exposed radio show, part of the Freedomizer Radio Network. Yes, we trust science. It's just scientists we don't trust. Visit madscientists.exposed for many ways to listen, or call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air. Again, that number is 319-527-6208. And now, here's our lead investigator, Suzanne.
Hi, and welcome once again to the Mad Scientists Exposed Show. And this week, I thought I better talk about the Russian connection, because it seems to be all over the news. Everything that comes out of Trump's mouth, they now assign to the Russians, as if Donald Trump could be anybody's puppet. Yes, he admires Putin's, being a strong leader, but that doesn't mean he agrees with Putin on all his issues. Putin, he's very self-serving. He's, he'll say one thing and maybe he'll do something else. He'll pal up with the Iranians. He's selling them weapons and nuclear materials, and that's all against the agreements that we've got. They're not supposed to be building up their nuclear provisions, but that's what they're doing. And even Alex Jones will cite RT.com, that stands for Russian Times, and so I started reading it, and I started finding, well, yes, there's some very good articles there exposing some of the lies going on in the U.S. mainstream media, but, they'll also publish articles about themselves palling up with the Iranians and terrorist states, and we don't really know what Putin's intentions are. He's bombing ISIS, which the U.S. is funding. That's pretty well commonly known in the alternative media, which is, of course, why Obama and Hillary want to shut it down. I don't know Obama's and Hillary's motives other than they hate the U.S. I mean, the proof is in their actions. Anyway, what I need to do here is I have a confession to make. I have my own Russian connections. I have friends who are Russian. I've known them for decades. I've been playing in a Russian orchestra in Tucson, Arizona for more than two decades, a long time. And is it more than two? No, almost two decades. Anyway, so that opening theme music that you hear, that's actually the Arizona Balalaika Orchestra. And I sit in one of the back rows for that. I'm not a professional musician. But the chorus there is the Sons of Orpheus Men's Chorus. That's not actually the Red Army, although they do a bang-up job of singing Red Army songs. And so we've had concerts through the years. We usually have once-a-year concerts. And it's only because I like the music. I can't understand a word of what we're playing or what people are singing. And until recently, I had no idea what the words to that theme song were, even though we have the transliterations, we knew which syllables to come in with our accompaniment as the orchestra plays for the chorus, the men's chorus. And so that opening song is actually called Polyushka Polye, and please forgive my pronunciation, I don't speak Russian, although there are people in the orchestra who do. And there's, actually I think there's more Ukrainians in the orchestra than Russians. These are all people who have fled the Soviet Union over the years, over the decades. They've moved to the United States because there's more opportunity here. Putin runs a tight ship over there, it's still a communist-style top-down economy. And so they're lucky to get bread on their table, with the way things are arranged over there, and that's what Obama wants to inflict on us. And he's only got another month to do it, so he better act fast. Well, I'm joking. Anyway, the theme song, you think, oh, the oppressive Russian army, and that's why I chose that theme music, because to an American ear, it sounds oppressive, and the New World Order is oppressive, and they're coming after us. They're trying to implement a worldwide communist government. Just the things that my friends have fled from when they fled the Soviet Union years ago, and of course they love the culture. They, implement the Russian music, the special instruments. It's a Russian balalaika orchestra is a plucked orchestra as opposed to a boat orchestra. So where everybody else has violins and cellos and basses, we have mandolins type instruments called domras and balalaikas. The domras are 3 or 4 string, depending on whether you prefer the Russian tuning or the Ukrainian tuning. And the balalaikas are 3 strings, and they're tuned E, E, and A, I think, or is it A, A, and E? I don't know. I don't play balalaika, but some of my friends do. And, you know, they're very beautiful instruments, and you can hear balalaikas. They became all the rage in the U.S. after, I believe it was the movie Dr. Zhivago, way back in the, I think, 60s or 70s, and then a little bit before my movie-going time. But that's when the balalaika picked up popularity in the U.S. And so there's about a dozen or more orchestras, balalaika orchestras in the U.S. And musicians, I got to say, it seems like Russian musicians are a lot like American entertainers. You know, they don't give a lot of thought to politics. I mean, of course, when they're over there under the Soviet Union, when they were, they played what the Soviet Union decreed they play. You know, they weren't allowed to play subversive music. But over here, they don't give a lot of thought to politics. So the 1 year, we played the Tsar's Anthem, which is quite beautiful, and it's pre-revolutionary. But my brother, who's a history buff, came to the concert, and we had a soldier march out and salute while we were playing the anthem and then march off stage. So you're playing the Tsar's Anthem, but he was wearing a Soviet uniform. And I'm like, oh, geez, you know, musicians, entertainers, we don't pay attention to politics, you know, when we're in that music mode. We just hear the music, and it's quite beautiful. Anyway, I looked up the translation for this opening song, and in English it's called Meadowlands or Field, or Going Through the Field. And it's, you know, you play it, you start at a low volume, you increase the volume, you know, as the army marches toward you, and then you play a decreasing volume as the army marches away. And, you know, you think, okay, they're coming to oppress you, it's the marching Russian army or marching Soviet army. But the words are actually quite sweet. The words are field, 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 wide field. And I got this from Wikipedia. Heroes are riding over the field. Oh, Red Army heroes. Girls are crying. The girls are forlorn today. Their loved ones are leaving for a long time. Oh, their loved ones are leaving for the army. Girls, pay attention. Look at the road we ride on. The road is long and winding. Oh, what a merry road. We only see the gray clouds, the hate of the enemy from the forest. Oh, the enemy's hate, it's like a cloud. Oh, girls, pay attention, we are ready to engage the enemy. Our horses are fleet-footed, our tanks are swiftly rolling. Oh, let the farmers work with peace of mind. Today we are the watchmen, today we are watching over them. And so that's actually quite sweet. They're not singing about marching to stick their boots on the American head. You know, it's like from the perspective, you know, all you got to do is flip perspective and you see what is supposed to be our enemy is really thinking. They're marching to protect their homeland, and they're thinking about going home to their girls when they're done, you know, just like our soldiers do. You know, it's kind of funny how it's kind of like a mirror image of our own thing. And you know, I'm not into supporting the Russian system or advocating their deals with Iran that are apparently more beneficial to Russia than our own deals are with Iran. We just give them everything with our own wacko President Obama. I think he's missing some marbles in his head. But anyway, if you were to visit the Arizona Balalaika Orchestra website, there is quite nice. There's music samples on it. Of course, there's CDs for sale there, too. But, anyway, I thought I'd play a piece, too, of another thing that isn't a marching song. It's just something quite beautiful, though. Let me see. Where is it? Roll through this list here. It should be alphabetical, and I don't see it. Well, maybe another time. I'll have to put a link. Oh, there it is. There it is. I'll play a little bit of it. Okay, well, that's you can hear the rest of that track over on the Arizona Balalaika website, and I provide a link there. And it's you know, that's the non-militarized music. It sounds like it's still going. Let me see if I can pause it there. Okay, well, you can pick up the rest of that track over on that other website, and I have a link. And it's you know, we don't want to hate the Russians, but dang it, they're not trying to control our elections, and you know, we don't want to control them, and we certainly don't want to go to war with them. Hillary was looking to you know, win, and she and Obama were gearing up to set it up so that we would have to go to war with them, starting with Syria, and it's quite disgusting. So the Russian science, except for I think the International Space Station, where we trade off with the Russians, and once our executive branch shut down our capability to rocket ourselves into space, now we have to hitchhike from other countries, and so you know, we go up the Russians or another country, and we come down with the Russians. I think our last astronaut, I think it was Kelly, Mike Kelly, came down in Kazakhstan, which used to be a Soviet satellite nation. They never splashed down in the water or landed on airstrips. They come down with a parachute and land in the middle of the Kazakhstan desert. And, you know, it's good that we can cooperate on a science level, but on the other hand, I think our science is more weaponized. And theirs is, other than the whole weapons thing, you know, there's been quite a few quotes online about Russian, Putin condemning our vaccine system. So if you were to go to, just search on Putin vaccines, and there's quite a few sites quoting him. Let me see if I can find one for you. This is last March. This was making the round of the internet, and don't ever click on the Snopes. They say unproven, but that's only because they can't read Russian. Anyway, this is at yournewswire.com. Putin: Western governments are enslaving humanity through vaccines. I don't know what this headline means on here. When your children are barely human, psychologically altered bots, their nerve cells and synapses failing to connect, and their neurodevelopmental processes dull to the point of restricting them to subhuman level, repetitive grunts and gormless stares. I don't know what gormless means. What are you going to do then? So an insider from the Ministry of Health in Russia has revealed that an explosive report is about to be presented to the Kremlin regarding the huge vaccination cover-up being perpetrated by the U.S. government agencies and its regulatory bodies, which is having disastrous consequences around most of the world. It is understood President Putin personally requested the report. He instinctively mistrusts the vaccine agenda, and the vaccine agenda is in bold letters there, and a lot of us can resonate with that, not trusting the vaccine agenda. And he wants the report to investigate the state of play regarding vaccines, big pharma, and Western governments in order to formulate a solid direct response that will stand his people in good stead for the future. According to the Ministry of Health Insider, the report validates President Putin's suspicions. There is a huge conflict of interest between the government agencies which regulate vaccines and the corporations that approve and implement those vaccines. This investigation, involving internally respected scientists and leading medical professionals, won't be a laughably corrupt affair involving a payroll of scientists who are willing to say or do anything for a dollar or two. I think there's something wrong with the translation there. Anyway, considering the fact that leading scientists and doctors who have dared voice concern about state-enforced vaccinations have been dying under mysterious circumstances in the U.S. in recent years, kudos must be given to those brave enough to continue speaking out. And this is true. There's, if you go to, what's her name? HealthNutNews.com. She's been following all the natural doctors, naturalist doctors, naturopaths, and the doctors that are discovering all the horrible things that vaccines do to children, and possibly ways to recover their health if they haven't been killed by the vaccine. And these have been dying over 20 or 30, I think was the last time I looked. So I think it might have even been approaching 50. But I should put a link to her site too, because she's on their radar. They come in and they hack her phone and things like that. And I hope she's still well. I haven't seen her lately on Facebook or your YouTube. Boy, oh boy. Anyway, so the article goes on. It is claimed the report will declare the situation a, quote, self-perpetuating criminal racket, unquote. Well, you got that right. Vaccine makes you sick and you're a customer for life. Anyway, it goes on. Educational institutions and scientific bodies are also, quote, motivated by greed and generally corrupt, unquote. A recent study by the University of Bristol that declared diet soda to be healthier than water, a study covertly funded by the Coca-Cola company, is presented as an example of the absurd situation in the West at the moment and is held up to ridicule. The Russians ridiculing us. I mean, they're smart people, and we're smart people, too. This is why we don't listen to the lies anymore. Anyway, but it gets even worse, it says. According to the report, Western governments are working hand-in-hand with corporations, using money-hungry scientists and educational bodies as tools to pull the wool over the eyes of the largely complacent, unsuspecting public. But the public aren't just being conned. They're also slowly but surely being enslaved. This is the master plan. You must fight this, because once you are enslaved, you can't just realize you don't like it anymore and decide to free yourself. This kind of enslavement is a state of being. It's what you are on a cellular level. I don't know if they can prove that scientifically. When your children are barely human, psychologically altered bots, their nerve cells and synapses failing to connect, and their neurodevelopmental processes dull to the point of restricting them to subhuman level, repetitive grunts and gormless stares, what are you going to do then? The elite have won. You and your descendants are now officially slave class, no better than battery chickens. I don't know what a battery chicken is. And will be used for whatever purpose the elite deems suitable for you. This is a prison you can't escape from. We must fight this. It says this article was originally published in 2016 and is frequently updated. Well, okay, the author is Baxter Dimitri, writer at Your Newswire. I guess he's got an English and and Russian name. I don't know. So, and there's a lot of other versions of this article out there, and I linked to a whole search on them. And you can see the thinking isn't quite American thinking, because Americans, it's in our DNA to fight oppression. That was the founding of the United States. And yes, they're importing more and more non-Americans, trying to overwhelm us with the vote. But the American spirit is still here, because people that have been here long enough that come here and they start a business and make something of their lives, the multiple generations, the Asians come, and it's the freedom of not having the government boot on your neck telling you what to do for a living, what you can buy and sell, all that. That's inherently American, and that's what exceptionalism means. It means the government serves us, we don't serve the government. So anyway, let me take a break here, and I'll be back in a few minutes. First, I gotta find the preloaded links. Okay.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
I see it playing, but nothing's coming up.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea, but you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare, Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
So we're back, and I think the goal for American science is to disassociate itself from the egregious profit motive. It's not science for pure science anymore. And you know, even as a kid, I kind of had the sense to figure that out. I remember Nixon declaring, I was not quite a teenager, when Nixon declared the war on cancer, and he was going to fund research, till we found an answer for cancer. And I knew at the time that, and I was just a kid, and maybe I had the cynical edge as a kid, that if you fund research, you'll get perpetual research. If researchers find an answer to cancer, the research money dries up. And so, you know, you like to think, oh, scientists are all benevolent, and you know, they want to solve it and solve issues and make the world better for humanity. And but no, we've got scientists who they need to make a living. And but I think what we need to do, and maybe I should write the Trump campaign. Well, it's not a campaign anymore, but the Trump administration, and suggest instead of funding research, that they fund rewards for finding the answers. And then the incentive is to actually find the answer. And then we can go on and ask other questions in science, because science is never ending. It's always questions. Every question that you answer, yes, you get an answer, but you now have 10 more questions. That's the way science works. And to have this perpetual unanswered questions, and you're not allowed to discuss it, you know, which foods actually cure cancer. If you were to get on, just Google up which foods cure cancer, well, you find reports on it, but it can't be from any website that actually sells the product. So I think there was. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. It was discovered that walnuts have quite beneficial heart health benefits. And they had the audacity, the walnut growers had the audacity to actually put that on their packages, you know, cardiovascular benefits or however they worded it. And they got shut down by the FDA. They came down on them like a ton of bricks. You get that off of there, or, you know, because now you've made walnuts a drug. We are going to classify walnuts as a drug unless you take that off your packaging. And I mean, that's the most absurd thing in the world. I mean, that's how absurd this gets, you know, if this gets out of control like this, because we've gotten the situation where our scientists that are studying diseases and cures and all this stuff are in bed with the very agencies that are supposed to regulate them. So they can't have somebody else find that walnuts actually cure something, because then we got to regulate them out of existence so that we can continue with our research money over here. You know, you can't just stumble on something that you eat that solves the problem. And, you know, it's a real paradigm shift, and it has to change, because the body will heal itself, given the right nutrients to heal itself on almost everything, all you know, not especially non-infectious diseases. Now, a lot of the infectious diseases going around are actually weaponized diseases, so you might get over them, you might not, depending on how compromised your immune system is, what your nutrition level is, how many vaccines you've had that target your immune system for damage. And, you know, I never quite figured out the whole thing about chemotherapy and cancer, because chemotherapy and the radiation and or leukemia, I mean, the whole thing is to kill your immune system so that they can now take over your immune system with these drugs to supposedly kill the cancer. And AIDS, the same thing. You know, it's to destroy what's left of your immune system with these chemical cocktails so that now we, the authority figures, take over ownership of your immune system, and we're going to, you know, implement these protocols to hopefully wipe out that virus. And if not, oh, well, you're dead, and it's because you've got nothing left of an immune system. And I've known more people that have died of chemotherapy than have actually died of cancer. And so, you know, you live long enough, you see this stuff. And anyway, so Putin also, I guess, had some something to say on GMOs. Putin, GMO food is now illegal in Russia. And I guess he can do that without his parliament. He can just say it and make it so. And that's the bad part of the Russian system over the American system. And maybe it's not money-driven, but it's power-driven. And Putin is a strong leader of his country, and right now he's, you know, people like him because he doesn't talk bad about his people, and he doesn't target them for suppression. You know, unless they talk against him, then he'll throw them in jail or kill them. He's been known for that kind of thing. But they like him because now they're nationalists, and they're proud of themselves as Russian. And but he can just say, make it so. And so when the world outlives Putin, they will collapse. So I'm waiting to see what becomes of Cuba now that Fidel Castro has passed on. That was an already egregiously oppressed system, but he left his brother behind. And they also had a younger protege. We'll see what happens with Cuba. And whatever happens to Cuba, we can forecast this is what will happen to Russia, unless they find a system that insulates itself against leaders who take control like this. And our system, the American system, is supposed to insulate itself against centralized power, because absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's certainly what we've been seeing in the American system, as the executive branch accretes more power to itself, and all these agencies grow like cancerous tumors and barnacles, smothering the life out of the American system, and Congress sits back and does nothing because somebody paid him to sit back and do nothing. Anyway, here's this article on Putin and GMO. GMO food is now illegal in Russia. This was published June 30th of this year by Sean Adel Tabatai. Sorry, I can't pronounce his name. This is also yournewswire.com. Russian President Vladimir Putin has outlawed GMO food in Russia, making it a criminal offense to import or produce it in the country. Following Putin's order to halt the production of all GMO-containing foods last year, and that was just an order, just like Obama does, you know, just executive orders, the Federal Council has finally approved a bill that will heavily fine anybody caught producing or importing such foods in Russia. Citizens violating the new law will have to pay a fine of between 10,000 and 50,000 rubles, which is $155 to $770, and companies will be fined much harsher, between 100,000 and 500,000 rubles, or $1,500 to $7,700. That isn't all that much either. Cost of doing business, as some folks say. RT.com reports. So RT.com comes right from the Russian government. So I guess it is what they stand for. Organizations that need genetically modified organisms for research can be exempted from the import bans, but they will need to register with state agencies as GMO importers. The ban on GMOs in Russia was prepared and drafted in early 2014 by a group of lower house MPs, backed by the parliament's majority party, United Russia. Well, I guess maybe it was an executive order. I don't know. I don't understand the system entirely, other than I know it's top down and the people don't have a whole lot to say. Shortly prior to this, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev ordered that a national research center be created to study genetically modified organisms with the aim of providing authorities with expert information and advice for future legislation and executive action. The State Duma passed the motion this year despite some protests from the scientific community. The Russian Academy of Sciences has reportedly asked the parliament to partially lift the ban on the production of genetically modified organisms on condition that the GMO materials be registered and regulated. Yeah, what we got here, it's like out of control in the U.S. According to official statistics, the share of GMO products in the Russian food industry has declined from 12% to just 0.01% over the past 10 years, with only 57 registered food products currently containing GMO. The law ordered obligatory state registration of GMO products that could come in contact with the environment will come into force in mid-2017. So that's the Russian situation on GMO foods. And, you know, it's very hard in the U.S. to avoid GMO foods. You can't eat any wheat product. That's breads, pastas, pizza crusts, noodles, you know, dumplings, all those wheat products, the cakes, cookies, crackers, because the GMO wheat in the U.S. is it's just everywhere. You know, there used to be what was called the Sugar Busters diet, and the premise was you don't eat white flour because it just turns to sugar in your body and that makes you fat. And so you switch to whole grains and whole wheat. And that worked for a while. I actually lost a bunch of weight doing that 1 year. And then gradually, whole grains stopped working. And I have since found out that was around the same time that pretty much all U.S. whole wheat, all U.S. wheat, including the whole grains, went to GMO. And what they're doing with the GMO wheat, I don't know if they might be specifically targeting American metabolisms, because we now know the agenda, the UN New World Order agenda is to reduce the population, so they don't want you being healthy and fighting back. But wheat is GMO'd so that it can withstand sprays of the Roundup that they use, you know, as a weed killer. But what they do is they spray newly grown, ripe, almost ripe wheat with this Roundup, and it forces the wheat to ripen all at once, or at least have the texture of ripened wheat. And so it's easier to harvest all at once, rather than some wheat being a little bit more ripe than, you know, and ready to harvest than others. They just spray it all at once. The wheat kind of wilts and makes it easier for the harvesting machines, and all of that gets processed into our wheat flour products. And so you're eating the flour, you know, the wheat flour, and you're eating the pesticides that got sprayed into it. So that wreaks havoc on your metabolism, and that's what Putin is now coming out against. And maybe he's looking at the American population and our general overweight situation here, because it's not just white folks. It's people of all races. They come to America and they get fat. So, you know, it's just kind of sad to see. Now, it's not that Russians haven't been doing GMO research in the past. I remember an article from several years ago that it just kind of stunned me. I thought it was going to put the formula feeding, you know, infant formula and the breast pump industry out of business, because this was like back in, I think it was like 2009, the news came out that the Russians were developing genetically modified goats to produce human breast milk. And that was quite interesting. I thought, well, if that, you know, I had known people at that time that had adopted a baby, and the baby was quite sick. He was born prematurely, and now I'm pretty convinced he was vaccinated to make him sick. But, you know, she was an adoptive mother, and it's very difficult for an adoptive mother to breastfeed a baby. And we know formula is not good for babies, and her baby was reacting terribly to all kinds of formula until somebody hooked her up with a goat farmer. You know, in between, some of us in the group actually donated bottles of breast milk, those of us that were lactating. And, you know, that kept them going for a week or two until she connected up with a local goat farmer, because she didn't want the homogenized, pasteurized stuff either. She just wanted it straight from the goat, and that is quite healthy. And I lost touch with them. I knew that little guy was still alive many months after we parted company, but he would be almost grown by now. Huh. Anyway, here's the article in the Telegraph, and this was in 2009. Goats are being genetically modified to produce the same milk as a human mother. This was by Alistair Jameson in February 2009, which isn't all that long ago. And I was surprised it never saw the market. So maybe it saw the market in other countries, but it certainly didn't here, because now we know the controls on the American market, you know, we're not allowed to advance anything. Certainly anything that would put out something as large as the infant formula industry. Scientists hope the treatment will allow mothers who cannot breastfeed their children to give milk which contains as much goodness as breast milk, according to reports. The move by experts in Russia and Belarus also involves of the development of medicines exploiting the antibiotic qualities of lactoferrin, a protein found in women's milk but which can be added to goat's milk through genetic modifications. I'm not sure what's wrong with the translation there, but anyway, you kind of get the gist. Dr. Elena Sajikova, who was leading the project, said the research followed trials on which male mice were implanted with human genes. Male mice, huh? This led to surprising amounts of lactoferrin being produced in their female offspring, 160 grams per liter of milk, she said. 90 female offspring from genetically modified male goats are now being raised on a farm outside Moscow in the hopes that they will produce milk with the same or higher amounts of lactoferrin than found naturally in human breast milk. The new program will be aimed at producing milk with the human protein as well as making medicines from it, said Dr. Pyotr Vitsias of the Belarusian National Academy of Sciences. The scientists say that the medicines will be used to treat cancer and illnesses of the immune and digestive systems. Similar projects are being carried out in the Netherlands and in China. Dutch scientists have created a transgenic cow producing the protein, but in small quantities. Goats were chosen over cows for the Russian-Belarusian study because they produce more milk in proportion to their weight and are less dependent than cows on external factors such as temperature. And goats were quite popular with some friends that I have in Tucson. And actually, my children's paternal grandmother raised goats for a lot of years. She loved the milk from them, and she had a lot of kids, and so they had some financial trouble. And she raised goats because it was cheaper to feed the goats and get the milk from the goats than it was to go to the store and buy the milk, the cow's milk. So, you know, of course, once you develop a taste for goat's milk, you never really want to go back, although I know some people who have. It's because it is hard to buy goat's milk in regular grocery stores, and certainly you can't get unpasteurized, unhomogenized stuff. I mean, there's, you know, the FDA would come down on your neck about that. And what they said about the cancer medicines, that's interesting because that takes me back to an article that made the news about the same time, where a man cured his own cancer by using the colostrum. And the colostrum is the first milk that comes out of the mother for the baby, and it has a totally different texture from the milk from then on. So a cow can, you know, give birth to a calf. It produces colostrum, which is highly antibiotic. You know, it kills all kinds of terrible things, including cancer. And until the baby grows a little bit, and then the milk changes to something with more calories, so that, you know, the baby cow needs a lot of calories because they grow really fast and they need to be running around in the field and stuff. Human babies don't walk that fast. Anyway, certainly human babies need their mother's colostrum. It makes a big difference in their early health. Except that now we have American hospitals outright attacking babies with the hepatitis B vaccine in the first day of life. If you look at the schedule on the CDC, they're supposed to get the hepatitis B vaccine within the first 24 hours of life. Hepatitis B is a disease that is acquired either sexually or through dirty intravenous needles. You know, so if your newborn is taking up the promiscuous lifestyle or taking up recreational drugs and sharing needles, then your newborn is at risk for hepatitis B. Now, the excuse that I hear on a rare occasion, oh, we're protecting the baby from anything the mother might have been involved in. Well, that's baloney, because you can test the mother for exposure to hepatitis B to find out if the baby's going to be exposed to it So injecting all newborns with this horrible vaccine is, I think it's a crime against humanity. It doesn't take scratching very deep in the surface to find articles online of babies that die of hepatitis B vaccine. Certainly, babies that die of vaccines in general are all over social media. The babies aren't, the parents are, the grieving parents are, and it's not unusual for babies to get really sick from these vaccines, permanent damage. They, you know, maybe they live, maybe they don't. It's just one of those things that really, really bothers me. So I see we have some callers. So let me take our first caller here. It looks like my fan, Ed. Hi, Ed.
Well, you know, I'm calling today because of this wonderful Russian program that you're doing. I think it's just wonderful. You're talking Russian music and Russian, you know, politics and good old Vladimir. You know, we just call him Vlad. Vlad, that's like Vlad Dracul in Romania, you know. The same basic name, but I don't want to be too ethnic with it. But you know, I'll switch back to my American accent. And you know, we can't be too friendly to this guy because my relatives and many of our friends, you know, the older generation, they fled from communist Russia, and also just the same way that the Cubans fled from Castro's Soviet Cuba, you know, in 1960 or so. We cannot trust this guy. But here's what's confusing to me and to many people right now is that here we are, after the last few decades of GMOs and vaccinations and things like that, we're in the strange situation of noticing that Russia, which has been isolated, which has isolated itself from the West and does not have these major corporations, messing with them and force and government agencies forcing them to do things, they are now a little bit more pristine, a little bit, you know, purer, a little bit wiser than we are in some respect, you know. So here you have this terrible dictator, Putin, but when he talks about the anti-vax and certain other things, and of course there's some very controversial social issues also, but almost more attractive than what we're getting here in the United States right now.
We have this horrible fog of the mainstream media, you know, trying to sell us, they're funded by the big pharma. Just watch their commercials. They're like 60-70% pharmaceutical commercials. So, of course, they're going to control the conversation. They're not going to cover vaccine damage. And there was a newspaper last week, I think it was USA Today, or something, they published some fluffy pro-vaccine article. And I got in the comment section and I said, look, you know, these parents of dead babies and crippled children are coming out all over social media by the hundreds of thousands. It says right in the DTaP vaccine package insert that SIDS is a very real possibility. You give this the DTaP vaccine, and he might be dead. And they get three in their first year, three rounds of the DTaP vaccine. You know, first at 2 months, and then at 6 months, and then at a year, and you know, and we're not even talking about the MMR. I mean, the DTaP, right in the same paragraph that it lists SIDS as a side effect, it also lists autism. So everybody is waving their hands about the MMR, and it's the DTaP vaccine that I personally think is doing the most damage. You know, they're administered simultaneously, and they're starting to administer them before birth to the mother. And they're drastically increasing the number of miscarriages. It's an agenda. And, you know, Putin's articles are nice and funny and not funny, but, oh, it's all about money and American greed. Well, it's not just about American greed. There's somebody at the top that has a depopulation agenda. And they don't like Putin, of course, because, you know, he's resisting the uber control by the New World Order. And they certainly don't like Trump because, you know, Trump is American, Putin is Russian, but they see eye to eye that their countries are not going to be controlled by these New World Order that want to exterminate people. So, I mean, Trump doesn't use the word exterminate, but certainly, you know, he sees the handwriting on the wall, you know, and there are some stories that he has met with some people that are questioning the safety of vaccines, and he did accept a copy of a DVD of the movie Vaxxed and said he would watch it, you know, mm-hmm. So, and that certainly throws into question the whole vaccine agenda and what's going on there.
Well, at bottom, it's very frustrating, and it causes much confusion to a guy like me who just realizes that suddenly our Washington, D.C. bureaucracy seems to be filled with socialists and social justice warriors and communists and people that are pushing
what did that mean, a social
in a
justice
certain direction,
warrior?
More than what we see in frickin' Russia, you know? It's so confusing that things have turned back on themselves in such a way that it's very hard to feel comfortable living in this country.
Well, to some extent, the Russians have already been cowed to having a super-uber government. And that super uber government is resisting the New World Order coming over them, over itself. Right. But Americans are, it used to be taught in our history books. You know, we stand up to tyranny in government. That's why our Constitution was written the way it was written. You know, to keep power dispersed so that over the locals have the more power than the federals. So, historically, the Russians have one way of thinking and the Americans have another way of thinking. It's just, I think it's a matter of coincidence that at the same time, they're both resisting the New World Order with strong leaders. You know, whichever path we choose after we get New World Order thing, because a lot of these New World Order creeps, they're really old. You know, they're going to die out. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're recruiting protégés. You know, we have all these young skulls of mush, as Rush Limbaugh calls them, being recruited in the universities and all that. So who knows? All it takes to be an elitist is to be arrogant. And if you teach somebody to be arrogant and that it's all right to be arrogant and that, you know, they're better than you and they can tell you how to live your life, it's an easy trap to fall into. I think it's called the first of the seven deadly sins, I believe, is arrogance or pride, where you consider yourself better than somebody else. And so...
Suzanne, where does Europe and other parts of the world stand right now in relation to vaccinations? Is it the World Health Organization that is pressing these around the world, or are we just getting more of it here in the United States, or is it happening
We're getting more of it here in the United States. We have the highest infant vaccination rate practically in the world, and also the highest infant mortality rate, in the top tiers there as far as that. And it seems like the rest of the world and the World Health Organization tend to bow down to the CDC schedule. Oh, they're the science, they're the authority figures, they have the white coats, and so we bow to them. They're the white coat priests of world health. But they're a little cynical about it. They know it kills people, and so they go into Africa with the army armed with bags of vaccines, and they round up the village children and, you know, vaccinate them with the same vaccine year after year after year. You know, there's interesting talks on YouTube about that and India, and, you know, they have an agenda. They know these things are killing people, but they're pretending that they're good for you, and they're trying to sell to you that they're good for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these people in the villages are wiser than the scientists. You know, they know to love their children and try to...
You understand tradition.
You know, but at
this has never been done before to their people.
Yeah. They have their thousands of years of, you know, herbal medicines that they've been using for years and whatever modalities they have and for centuries. And to have these people come in and say, no, we're going to, you know, goon step on you. And you know, some traditions... village traditions are not that good. I remember an article, it was somebody doing a study of birth practices in Pakistani villages, and they had this practice of actually withholding the colostrum from the baby when it was born. They would wait till the white real milk, they call real milk, they wait till that would come in. Came in really late. The baby could starve to death before ever getting its mother's milk. And, you know, there are whatever reasons that milk can come in late, but one of the reasons would be lack of stimulation. I mean, I breastfed my children. I kind of know how it works. You know, it's it's not a supply and demand system. It's a demand and supply system. So it's the baby demands the milk. You know, you put him to the breast, the baby's sucking. It might not get milk the first time or the second time, or whatever. But the more you put the baby to the breast, the more your breast ultimately produces, and then you know it brings out the milk and the supply. So it's a demand and supply. And if you're not putting the baby to the breast to give it the colostrum, the mother's later milk is not going to come in right away, if it comes in at all. And so the baby might just die. And it's a very sad situation. And I remember being outraged at the article because they were wondering, gee, we're just supposed to be here studying, and we see this baby dying, and we know why it's dying. Do we have the right to interfere in their cultural heritage and tell them how to not let the baby die, to put it to the breast? And I was outraged. And what a racist thing to say. Of course these people want to save their babies. To not tell them because you don't want to... you know, it was so PC.
No.
It was so PC, you know. Oh, well, we'll be racist if we interfere in their cultural traditions. No, it's racist if you let the baby die because, you see, you know, it's just, you know, that I should link to that article, too. It's on another website from another day, another time in my life, you know, back when I was, you know, that video wasn't so far in my history now. Now it's pretty far back in my history. My kids are adults. And I still understand the whole situation.
So what does World Health Organization, the UN, and other bodies think about breastfeeding as versus formula? I would think that the corporations are so strong that they would love for babies to just receive formula rather than to be breastfed at all. Have you noticed anything like that?
Well, I should look it up. I know for a long time the World Health Organization was trying to promote breastfeeding in third world countries to improve the infant mortality rate. But the agenda has changed, but I'm sure they can't change that statement without being really obvious about it. And so now we have the CDC actually saying, don't breastfeed while we give you these vaccines because the breast milk interferes with the vaccines. Well, yes, you're injecting diseases. Breast milk is full of antibodies, and the mother's immune system is joined with the baby's immune system, you know, way past birth and, you know, through breastfeeding. And yeah, if you're going to inject the baby full of disease and you want this response to the immune system, you want to target the immune system, you don't want to involve the mother's immune system helping the baby, you know. And so the CDC actually says that, and now the World Health Organization is, you know, bowing to the CDC, and that's what the TPP was all about. And this whole thing last week with the 21st Century Cures Act, it was about imposing our CDC requirements on other countries. That was part of it, including mandatory vaccines. So this isn't over, folks. You know, all I can say to protect yourself right now is just say no. Say no to their agenda. You know breastfeeding is good for your baby. You know organic food is good for your health. You know that vaccines is just injecting disease plus all these heavy metal irritants into your immune system. You know, just say no. And you know, just like we did with this election of Trump. You know, they fed us the lies, and everybody just said, forget it, we're not buying your lies, and we're going to shove it back in your face. And we see how they come out of the woodwork, and they reveal themselves as to what their true intentions are. And so we have to say no to the vaccines to the point of forcing them to reveal themselves, to send the armies in to bust down our doors and force it. And they might not have the nerve to do that. You know, quite often when you stand up to evil, it just goes poof. Or at least it leaves you for that day. And so we have to, all of us, all have to say no to it until the day they really, really try to force it. I mean, they'll penalize us. Oh, we'll take away your health insurance. We'll do this. We'll do financial incentives. But, you know, we have to force it. Fine, you know, I'll take financial penalties for not getting the vaccines and not doing this and not doing that. And we have to push it to the point to say no to either the whole system collapses or they come to our doors with jackboots. And I don't think it's going to come to our doors with jackboots, but we have to have the nerve to say no. So that's my position on it.
I heard that World Health was doing its vaccinations in Central Africa and including things in the vaccines that would sterilize the women. Has anything
been done
in vaccinations? And I just wonder if this applies also to South America, Central America, Australia.
Well, we know they did it in Mexico. We know they did it, I think, in the Philippines. It keeps coming up through the decades. were, they did last year or the year before, a bunch of Kenyan doctors, Kenyan Doctors Association, got suspicious of the agenda, because all these tetanus vaccines were being imported into Kenya, supposed to distribute them to the population, but they had a much more aggressive and heavy vaccine schedule, many more boosters much closer together for women of childbearing age. Nobody else, not the children, not the men, not the older women, just the women of childbearing age were supposed to get this heavy schedule of boosters. And they're like, what the heck is this? Why are they targeting women of childbearing age? And so they surreptitiously stole a few vials of it and had them tested. And it wasn't just tetanus that they were vaccinating them for. They were vaccinating them against pregnancy hormones, HCG, I forget what it stands for, but it was human pregnancy hormone that they were vaccinating them against, so that if women were to get pregnant and they were immunized against their own pregnancy hormones, they would miscarry and just repeatedly miscarry year after year after year. And this is disgusting. Awful. This is genocide.
Doesn't wear out of the That would not leave the body after a while, so that they might be able to fertile again?
Supposedly vaccines wear off, but if they keep targeting these women for their whole childbearing years with ever-increasing boosters, I don't know. So that came out, and Snopes really showed themselves. We forced them out of the woodwork with that one. They actually linked to the press release of the doctors who found this and said, oh, no, it's not true, because if it were true, they would be selling it to Western women, because Western women would want a long-term. Oh, my God. I wrote to them. I said, are you out of your mind? Do you think African women like repeated bloody carcass miscarriages year after year after year? Do you think Western women would put up with that? Why would you inflict this on our African sisters? It was just, I called them. Yeah. Racist. I call them, It was just outrageous. Well, Snopes is really disgusting. They actually linked to the article that proved it was true and then just labeled it false because, but they're not selling it to me, and I want this. I'm a Western woman. I want this. And that fat pig of a woman, at Snopes, I'm sorry, but I can't stand her. She's so ugly to look at. A lot of times people, their outer body reflects their inner soul, and that woman is ugly. From soul deep, she's ugly, and her nasty little toad of a husband too. So that's what I think of Snopes. Anyway, let me take one more break here. I should take a break here,
No, it's just that I had heard something about Snopes also, that they come on like they're arbiters of what's true and what's false, and then they say yay or nay, but they're actually a lot of times they're giving bad results.
I'm telling you how I caught them in a lie. I caught them in a self-telling lie. Lots of times people will click on a Snopes link and they'll just look for the red or green button to see, is it true or false? But if you read the article, they actually will prove it's true while calling it false. So it's the same trick that they do. There was somebody a week or two ago who absolutely lied outright about Trump. I forget what she said, but if you read to the bottom of the article, it said, that's not true, but it could be, this is just a satire piece. You have to read to the bottom of the article, and Snopes depends on you not reading to the bottom of the article. The bottom line is at the bottom line. It's not that red or green button at the top. So I need to take another commercial break, and then we need to take another caller who's been overly patient, and I thank you, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, or save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, on cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right now, right here. The check was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost us $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we're going to check out. Here's what you can do. If you want to save that much money, view the books in your area before you buy. You can go to freedomizerradio.com and barefootislegal.org. Just click on the city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around your town with your new Save Around book. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Click on your town and start saving money now. Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Pacific Time to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio or the Barefoot is Legal radio show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, and check out barefootislegal.org.
Hey, Freedomists, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hi, so we're back, and we have another caller. So, hi, sir, are you still there?
Maybe. I could be.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think I am.
Thank you for your patience. There's just so much material to cover in such a short time.
I am not a doctor. I do not have any patience. I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor.
That's good. I guess.
Play on words, pun, you know. There's a little joke there. Ha 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 ha.
Well.
Anyway. Hello, Savannah.
So you got some
Larry.
Thoughts on Russian science? Hi, Larry. You have some thoughts
Do
on
some
Russian
thoughts?
Science and Putin?
Okay. Well, first, before we get too in depth about Mr. Putin, the powers that be do hold back on cures for cancers and things quite a bit. And in fact, if you actually can cure cancer, they'll go after you and hang you from the gallows.
I watched a documentary on Dr. Brzezinski. Amazon Prime, it's free right now. There's like three episodes of it, Dr. Brzezinski.
Yeah.
In Texas?
Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube for free, too, I think. But, yeah,
okay.
I remember when all that was going on, and, you know, and instead of going for the citizens, so to speak, he goes before a medical board that's comprised of doctors on the take, and they decide, not politicians. Well, finally, he did get to go to court. But also vitamin C injections, which they do not allow in the United States. You have to go out of country, just like you have to leave the country to get injections of colloidal silver, which kill infections.
Well, you can consume both of those orally, and, you know, you can You know, I know somebody, I've met somebody, my daughter knows him better, but he produces his own colloidal silver, and he takes it on a regular basis, and there's a certain way to do it so that you don't turn blue. If
well,
you take the wrong
I'll
type of colloidal silver,
is.
You turn blue.
There's, well, and, here's the lowdown on colloidal silver. You do not make it out of tap water, first of all.
Yeah, right.
You want the silver molecule to be unbound. Okay? With me so far. Right?
Okay.
Well, when
unbound
you
to what?
Use tap water, unbound to anything. It's a...
Okay.
All right. You want that silver particle, that molecule, to be free. Right? It's not chained.
Yeah.
It's not slave, whatever. Iodine's the same way. We won't go there right now. When you use tap water, your tap water has all sorts of minerals and salts in it, right? Well,
and fluoride.
That poor
yeah.
That poor little silver molecule is so lonely. It's out there searching for someone to be with. And along comes a mineral molecule or a salt molecule that goes, hey, will you be my friend? Let's be together. And so then it's bound to that stupid mineral. Which is why you triple distill water. I'm kind of skipping part B because I don't want to take all night.
What's the purpose of triple distilling? Isn't distilling distilling?
Distilling is stripping everything out of the water so that
right.
silver molecule does not bind another molecule. Because once it binds to another molecule, like a potassium salt or a calcium salt or whatever, then it can be absorbed in your body fat. You don't want that, right? You
yeah.
want it to go into your bloodstream
yep.
unbound, okay? When it is bound
yeah.
to a mineral salt or something, that's what, and it gets into your body fats and all that, that's what causes people to have that alien-colored hue, so to speak. Okay? They look like they're from another planet. They turn blue and all that. And I forget the name of the...
What does it bind to once it's in your bloodstream?
Nothing. It floats around looking for it looks for viruses and bacteria and fungi to attack and destroy.
Okay.
Because
you have
a
regular salt level in your bloodstream. It doesn't grab the salt before it grabs the pathogens.
No, it's I don't remember exactly how all that works. Okay,
okay.
Now you're asking me questions.
Okay, yeah.
But it's like, geez, I really wasn't going to go into an in-depth explanation. That's I don't have those memory banks in my
yeah.
computer opened up. Plus, I'm driving down the road, and I can't exactly go open up notes and stuff. Yeah. But I can talk to you, and that's okay. But anyway,
yeah.
also now, iodine, check this out. Iodine also... runs into the situation where if it's bound like potassium iodide, okay? It's an iodine molecule bound to a potassium molecule. Now, once it does that, it becomes slightly toxic and you do too much and you can get sick, right? Because, you know, they say, you know...
I did that about, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 months ago. I started eating seaweed. I was experimenting with the health issue that I wanted to see what would happen, and so I drastically increased my consumption of sushi wrap. I got really sick.
Well, now,
I went and talked to the naturopath.
That's not really that bad. There's something
well,
else in the seaweed
to get
making
sick.
You sick.
Well,
there's something else in the seaweed.
I did a wall. I don't know. Well
how
I
much
went to
seaweed
see
did you eat
naturopath.
Per day? How much
per
seaweed
day?
Did you eat per day? Yeah, a pound?
Well, I bought a package of, no, it was a package of buy the wrappers to make your own sushi, and I was eating two of those a day. And just not two packages, two sheets, two little sheets. You know, each package held about eight sheets, and after about 2 weeks, I hit
deal.
A wall.
There's
I got really, I'm sorry?
Well, there's something else. Yeah, there's something else in that seaweed that's not good.
Maybe it was radioactive.
Sorry,
it was... You know, after Fukushima, who knows what we've got going. I should go grocery shopping with a Geiger counter.
I remember that song, Radioactive, the firm, with That was a good song. Yeah, radio.
I should get it.
Anyway,
the Pontotics have a really nice acapella version. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the way Jimmy Page did the harmonics on it and all that. But anyway, aside from the seaweed, potassium iodide tablets, right? The seaweed, if it's making you sick, there's something wrong there. Because the Japanese can eat it.
It could have been something wrong with me.
Well, if you eat too much of it, the doctor was really glad
that I had done it with seaweed instead of a supplement. She had people that were so desperately, they couldn't sleep for 6 months. Not a week, they couldn't sleep for six months. I wasn't like that.
Here's the deal, okay? Your lymphatic system gets clogged up, and that includes your thyroid, with bromides and all these other weird halogens instead of iodine.
Yeah.
Iodine's the good halogen, okay? The rest of them, you don't want in your body, okay?
The fluoride and the bromide, you want those out.
Yeah, and the chlorines. You don't want any of the halogens except for iodine. So forcing this garbage out, well, that's going to make you sick. And that's why you're supposed to
do iodine. You think it was just a Herxheimer? It might have been a Herxheimer reaction? A detox reaction? That's possible.
It's a detox. It's a detox reaction. Is what I think, because if you do what they call nascent iodine, which in reality the full word is magnesent iodine or magnesent iodine, all right, it's an unbound iodine molecule, all right? It's the safest way to do it. It's not bound to anything. It's not going to make you sick. Now, what it will do is force the toxins out of your lymphatic system, and that
will
make you sick. It's the toxins going out into your body that make you sick.
Yeah. But they have to come out in order to pass through, in order to excrete them. They have to come out of your body's tissues. So,
the thing is, though, before you go doing that, you really need to clean out your liver and your gallbladder, okay? Because that's your filter system. And you're going to run into a wall there because, let's say your gallbladder is already kind of filled up and you really need to clean out the stones and stuff before you go and dump more toxic waste into it. Well, you know, that you need to do that first and do a liver and gallbladder cleanse before you go start messing around with your lymphatic system, okay?
Okay,
then once
so
you do
correct
a
order
good,
to this thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, think about it. You know, like, where's the toxins going to go once you start pushing it out of your lymphatic system? Okay? So, you know, you want to have the ABC of things and kind of, but anyway. So once you get done, you know, with the detox on your gallbladder and your liver, then start looking at attacking the bromides and other bad halogens that are in your body, in your lymphatic system, and including your thyroid. See, doctors aren't taught this in medical school. Cut the gallbladder out when it gets full of stones. Take the thyroid out when it becomes inactive. They aren't taught how to heal things, how to clean things, which is really messed up. But that's the Rockefeller type of medicine. But anyway, iodine has to be an unbound molecule. If it's not, it's like potassium iodide, where it's bound to a potassium molecule or salt, then it can get to a point there's a toxicity level, what they call a hero's dosage level. Like if you're a soldier in a hot environment, and when I say hot, I don't mean, you know, like the Bahamas hot. I mean a nuke zone, right? They know that, you know, we're going to overrun a situation with like Russia or something like that or vice versa, and they're going to use nukes to make up for the lack of firepower. Well, to survive the high dose of radioactive iodine, like 121, you do what they call a hero's dose of potassium iodide, and it fills up your thyroid and your lymphatic system so that it doesn't absorb the radioactive iodine called iodine-121. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. Hold hold on here. Let me see here. It's a left exit. It's Fakers. I'd be in the wrong lane. You sorry bastards. Well, at least I have enough time to get over. I'm in Denver on I-25 going south looking for Interstate 270 so I can mosey on to Destination. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I just Googled up Russia,
you know,
and fluoride. I wanted to see if the Russians were fluoridating their water systems.
No.
I don't know.
No, they're not. Now on to that.
They have, Putin, though. Huh?
In the past, yes. In the past, before Putin came into power, wait a minute, express lane. I don't want a freaking express lane. I'm not paying money for tolls. Oh, shit. Get out of my way, car, before I run your ass over. No, I'm fine.
Road rage on the radio. I can just go on to and read this article while you navigate that. How about that?
Well,
use the fluoridation mind control.
No,
don't have an accident on the radio, please.
No, I'm not going to get into an accident. Don't worry. You have to get used to big city driving. That's just the way it is. But anyway,
get yourself a Bluetooth.
Here's the deal.
Get a Bluetooth.
Putin
plug it in your ear.
I do have a Bluetooth, and I'm using my headset right now.
Okay.
Putin walked
okay.
into a situation that was foobar. All right? And the New World Order people, a long time ago, financed the Bolshevik Revolution. All right?
Yep.
I mean, that's really nothing new. That's not like, you know, anything, you know, big news. Okay? And by the time Putin came in, Monsanto had already been in there. Bayer had already been in there, in other words, IG Farben, okay? And all these other, you know, the New World Order banking system was there, and the oil companies were there. Now, you remember, you go back to when he first took control, what was one of the first things he did in his power grab? And immediately called Gorbachev what? A traitor to his country. That's documented, okay?
Wow. I just, you know, Gorbachev, I read an article by him today. He's been interviewed, and he said he resigned the presidency in order to avoid a civil war when the Soviet Union was collapsing. So he prides himself on having saved a lot of lives by resigning. So that wouldn't make him a traitor
Putin,
to his country. What, was he the traitor for bringing in the banksters?
Well, he didn't bring
for
them
not
in.
Keeping
he
the banksters
stay.
Out? You let him stay. Okay.
You let him stay. Just like, but if you look, Putin doesn't have a nice word to say about Stalin or Lenin.
Really?
And one of his comments is to the United States, get away from communism, and you people are going towards it. Can't you learn from what we did?
Man,
and he's also
we have Venezuelans
said,
starving right now, and people don't learn from it. You know,
yeah,
I'm
I
running
know.
Into nutcases
and
on
told,
Facebook.
He's told Americans, don't give up your guns. Okay? Now, with him banning
GMOs... But he's
GMOs,
not
going to
give his people guns.
Actually, you can get a permit and have a gun in Russia now. It's not a gun-free zone. And
really?
And he's also told his people to go out, get married, have kids. Populate the country and do farming and do organic farming. And the reason why he banned, well, he didn't do it himself. It was the proletariat and all that stuff. You know, the parliament is what, you know, we, you know, British call it the parliament, but the proletariat, they got together and they got wise and realizing, you know, here's the deal. Okay. We're getting poisoned and we don't like it. But, they banned GMO because they don't want their crops, it cross-contaminates into the organic,
you can't have
organic crops and GMO crops next to each other, okay?
No,
it just
you
doesn't
can't.
Work.
There's situations here in the States, the farmers in Monsanto suing each other. You know,
and,
they
well,
will target an organic
things.
Farm to set up next to in order to contaminate them.
Exactly.
They've been doing
Thank
that.
You. And that's one of my criteria in finding a new ranch or farm, whatever you want to call it. We're in Texas, we call them ranches, basically. But anyway, is that, you know, how far is it from any kind of corn, soybeans, whatever, you know? I look for a rancher that does nothing but just grow coastal hay. I'll go next to him and get to know him and introduce him to an organic way of raising beef and saying, hey, dude, you want to get rid of your fire ants? I can help you. But that's another story. I'm not pro-poop.
Yeah, you know, that sounds like
him.
John Kohler had an episode last week or week on teaching your neighbor how to grow organically. John Kohler is a YouTube personality, and he's got his whole yard is covered with you know, organic plants, and he grows for himself, and he teaches his neighbor.
Cool.
And they put out something the other day on, and I think it was about anthills and stuff, and he was mixing vinegar with soap, and then there was a third ingredient. I'm like, that's not organic.
You don't need to do all that.
Like,
No, vinegar works fine.
You don't need anything with it.
Vinegar only works short term. You want to get rid of them long term. Fire ants will come back, okay? Trust me. I've dealt with fire ants.
Well, it's a good weed killer. Vinegar is a good weed killer.
Well, vinegar mixed with Epsom salts will kill weeds a lot better. But that's another story. But really,
yeah.
What are weeds? Just plants that you don't want in competition with when
right.
you're growing in the garden. But dandelions.
Right, but if you have
want.
A gravel yard and a snooty HMO, it'll take them out for you.
I don't do association. I'm sorry. I hate those people.
Well,
they're
my
tyrants.
Mom did. My mom's,
yeah.
You know, in her neighborhood. You know, she was in an HMO gated community with
a
gravel. You know.
If you have a dandelion in your yard, they fine you or something?
Yeah.
You
oh, they said it's a nasty letter one time. I was
go.
Out there pulling weeds. You eat the, yeah, you can eat dandelions. But,
oh, yeah,
you
they're
know,
good for
by the side of the road, it was bizarre. I was out there pulling weeds, and, you know, I got them all that day, but there was a car, an unlabeled car that was just sitting there watching me, and I'm like, what is this? There's no traffic on the street. Who is that person? And then we got a letter, take care of your weeds or else. And I think what the problem was, it was, I was there, you know, for my mom. We were the homeowner taking care of our own weeds. We weren't hiring their favorite Hispanic landscaper. I think that's
yeah,
what it was.
Whatever.
We weren't hiring the landscapers
yeah,
around there.
Yeah.
I can't figure out, why would they send us a letter about the weeds? After they saw me taking care of the weeds.
See, you know, this
but
is the whole
thing.
But
they saw me taking care of the weeds.
People,
it was bizarre.
Yeah, don't get involved with the homeowners association. It just, it's a disaster.
I know.
Disaster.
That was my mom's choice.
But,
it wasn't my choice.
Yeah, but they bother me. I just beat their, well, never mind. But anyway, here's the deal with that. And I know this from what ants, fire ants in particular, because other ants really aren't that big of a deal, but. Well, except carpenter ants can be on your house if you have a different situation with a lot of moisture. But carpenter ants, that's another story. But with fire ants, they're insane, okay? In fact, I think they are GMO. They're genetically modified. But
really?
Yeah. They were brought here.
Wow.
They did not naturally come here. They're not from the United States. They're from South America. But anyway, all that aside.
Like killer bees.
Yeah, well, that's another
like
story.
Like killer bees.
Started on. But, yeah, well, killer bees.
That was intentional, huh?
Anyway, fire ants can't adapt to concentrated fish fertilizer. I know a rancher, I knew a rancher as an acquaintance, okay, many years ago. And he figured out that fire ants were dying off and not coming back when he was using fish emulsion fertilizer in his hay. He was growing organic hay to feed to his Angus beef because he was raising organic grass-fed Angus beef cattle. Okay? Well,
before radioactive fish emulsion, right?
No, it's off the Pacific. So it's off the Atlantic coast. This is before Fukushima.
Oh, okay.
This is back 2004.
We have 2 minutes left in the show.
2005. Well, anyway,
Just a two-minute warning. Just a two-minute warning.
Okay, I'll wrap it up real quick. He went from the outside perimeter in a spiral version of it and went around all the way to the center, spraying this fish emulsion and killed off the fire ants. They could not adapt to the heat of the fertilizer, you know, the nitrogen. They killed them off. They never came back. And it just, and it doesn't destroy the planet, so to speak, okay? It's not harmful to
right.
the water and all that stuff. But anyway.
If it destroyed the planet, there wouldn't be so many fish.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah. But it really does work. It's the best thing to use in reality because it doesn't hurt your
wow.
water table or anything like that. It, you know, it decomposes rapidly.
And your roses will go crazy. I know roses love fish.
Yeah. Well, hay yeah. loves it too. You know, you. But anyway, so you know that's really the you can get it in bulk and save a lot of money, and your yard will be beautiful, and your garden will be beautiful, and you're not poisoning anything doing it. You're not killing bees off that you need. But in the meantime, kid,
wow.
you go do your closing statement and things, and
I have to.
Y'all.
Yes, thank you.
Be safe. Take care. Peace out.
You too. You too.
Adios.
Thank
Happy
you.
Trails.
And
bye.
Happy trails. Thank you for listening, everybody, and join us again next week for another exciting episode of Mad Scientists Exposed.